NPR.
Hey everyone, it's Cardiff and Stacey, and
Hello. This
is Fun Facts Friday.
I love Fun Facts Friday.
I know. It's a great show. It's when, essentially, I just throw some facts at Stacey that I came across during the week, and Stacey, you get to judge if they are,
in fact, be judgy.
Fun facts. Yes.
Although, this time feels... I already feel like a little pre-let down, even though I have no idea what you're going to say, because you told me you had a big surprise for me in the studio.
Yes.
And I asked if it was food, and
you
said no.
And
I have a sinking feeling it's a chart.
It's not a chart, okay? Remember that we still haven't figured out... No, it's not. We haven't figured out what
to call
you.
Is it an Excel spreadsheet?
It's not. It's not. You keep trying to be disappointed... ahead of time. It's like you're lowering expectations.
Well, if it's not food...
to make it easy to jump over.
I feel like it's going to be... I mean, if it's not, it's not
food.
Why
don't you just wait for it?
Okay.
Here it comes.
All right.
So, you know that we still haven't figured out what to call you during these
Fun Facts Fridays, right? People had some great suggestions.
Exactly. And so we asked our listeners to call in with some ideas for what you should be called.
Really?
Yep.
Like call on the phone?
And so here's the surprise.
No!
I think Stacey should be called the Thundertaker because public radio needs more pro wrestling references.
That's true.
I think Stacey should be called the Fun Factacator. Just think of the business cards. Stacey Vanek Smith, the Fun Factacator on the indicator.
I think Stacey should be called the Fun Inspector General because, like the U.S. Inspector General, her role is to prevent misuse of the term fun in Cardiff's facts.
I think Stacey should be the Funpire because she'll go on strike to save us from a ball market.
So there you go.
Oh my God, I love
some listeners called in, yeah.
I think that's better than food.
This was meant to be a sort of guide to help you figure out what you want to call yourself during these.
Oh, I kind of liked Fundertaker because I do agree about the pro wrestling references.
Yes.
I think that is undeniably great.
Tell you what, why don't you think it over? We'll do today's show, and at the end of the show, you can choose.
Did you have a preference?
I like the Fun Inspector General.
Fun Inspector General is pretty good.
After the break, three facts. And Stacey, the maybe Fun Inspector General, will deem them fun or not fun.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Salesforce, a customer relationship management solution committed to helping you deliver the personalized experiences that customers want. Salesforce, bringing companies and customers together. Visit salesforce.com/learn more. Support for NPR and the following message come from Personal Capital, helping over 2 million people with free online financial tools. Download the app or sign up today at personalcapital.com. Personal Capital. Invest with logic. Plan with heart.
Okay, here comes fact number one. It was actually sent to us by economist Ernie Tedeschi. Shout out. Stacey, you ready?
Okay.
Okay, you know how we do Jobs Friday once a month, of course,
right? Yes.
Well, if you look at all of the net new jobs created in 2019, last year, okay?
Net new jobs, meaning just
the
new jobs?
Yeah, in other words, new jobs. Because, like, obviously some jobs are created and some are gone, so you take the net new jobs, right?
Okay,
so if you look at, that's basically the monthly job creation number that we look at. If you look at all 12 months, so the full year last year, 72% of those jobs went to women. 72%.
What happened to the guys?
Well, there's a few things that happened here. But the big one is that last year, the goods-producing sectors, like manufacturing or the construction sectors, had a really tough time creating jobs. Whereas in the services sectors, where most of the jobs are held by women, they had a pretty good year, like a normal-paced year.
Those are like retail jobs.
Yeah, not retail jobs, but specifically healthcare and education jobs.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the short-term reason. But the long-term reason here is that the economy is, in fact, moving towards creating jobs that traditionally have been held by women. So that's just the direction it's heading in.
Well, that is a super fascinating fact. I hesitate to say it's fun because it also feels like it could cause some difficulty. I mean, it's good that jobs are being created. It feels like those jobs are probably going to transition into sort of gender-neutral jobs. But those shifts are always so painful in the job market. So it's definitely a great fact. Fun? I mean, listen, I'm always, you know, excited about Camp Lady, but...
Let's call that one fascinating, not fun. Is that fair?
Yeah, fascinating.
Okay. Moving on to fact number two.
Okay.
Right? This has to do with the performance of active equity fund managers. So we should explain that, right? So
okay, this is already sounding a little not fun.
I know. But wait till you hear the fact, right?
Okay.
So let's say you and I have some money that we want to invest because we're loaded.
Sure.
I just have to stop and laugh
this
at that.
This is a fun fact.
That idea, right? So we look for somebody who's good at picking stocks and we say, hey, here's our money. Pick some stocks and make us more money, okay? That's an active fund manager.
Okay.
Okay? So if you look at the last decade, okay, and you look at the performance of these active fund managers, it ain't great. Because these fund managers are supposed to beat a benchmark. So, for example, if they pick stocks in the U.S., then their benchmark might be the performance of the S&P 500 index.
Right. So they're supposed to be able to outperform. If you just buy an index fund that, like, tracks the market.
Yes.
If you are an active fund manager, you're supposed to be able to do better.
Exactly. That's why we would give you our money in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. So of all those active fund managers that invest in U.S. stocks, you know what percent actually did beat that benchmark? Only 11%.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a very small share. And so I think that suggests something pretty powerful, which is that it's really hard to beat the market.
That is super interesting. I don't know if it's fun, but it's super interesting.
Okay.
Also so fascinating.
It's like two for two on fascinating, not necessarily fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for fact number three?
Yes.
Here we go.
Is there some fun in here somewhere?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not positive.
I see a chart in front of you.
Through the back of the page.
You said no chart.
I said the chart wasn't the surprise.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't the surprise. But there is a chart involved
here.
Yeah, and I found this chart in the course notes of economic historian Brad DeLong. Shout out to him. Okay, so here it is. If you look back through the whole sweep of human history, okay, go back to the year 6000 BC, okay?
What kind of a chart is that?
I know. You're going to love this, right?
Okay.
Here's the deal. In order to compare, like, living standards over time, we need to have a sense of, like, what the average person had back then and then value it in today's dollars. So here's the astonishing figure. In the year 6000 BC, the average income per capita was about $900. Fast forward all the way to the year 1500 AD.
Okay.
That is 7,500 years later. You know what the average income was then? Still $900.
Really?
Zero improvement in living standards in 7,500 years. Okay. Now, fast forward to what it is today, and it's about $11,800. So it's like a lot more. Like it started actually increasing then. But it's amazing that living standards per person didn't improve at all for 7,500 years.
I feel like it would be better to be around in 1500 as opposed to 6000 BC. Because 6000 BC, you've got like...
There's nothing.
You're like living in a cave
you know,
and
right.
like trying to spear a mastodon. Like 1500, like you're not that far away from Shakespeare. So,
yeah, but according to these estimates, living standards still were not that much better.
That's so
and
interesting.
What happened later was that within a few hundred years, and especially after the Industrial Revolution, the types of technology that were introduced, finally, technological improvements were growing exponentially enough that it could outpace population growth. And so average living standards finally started going up a lot.
I'm just like delighted at the idea that they were like trying to price it. Like, okay, how much is this cave worth?
Yeah.
You know, well, there are, you know, very high ceilings. On the other hand, not a lot of ventilation, not a lot of sunlight.
No plumbing, no refrigeration, you know, yeah. So is that a fun fact?
That is a super fun
okay.
fact. I love right. that fact.
And so the question is, as we wind down this episode, yeah. have you chosen your new name for future episodes?
I think I really like the Funpire.
The Funpire?
Because there's just so much potential with baseball calls, like strike one, strike two, strike three, foul ball.
Right.
Hit it out, like hit the rat. Okay, I have to look up some baseball terms. But I feel like, you know, hit it out of the park.
All right. Stacey Vanek Smith, the Fun Fact Friday Funpire. This podcast is ridiculous.
Can I put it on my business card?
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafian. It was fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.